We all have different pain tolerance and levels, and it's good to listen to yourself and not compare. And then also a way to gauge where you're at and last longer, if you want to last longer, is set a tone. So if she's doing something to you, you got to gauge. So start lower. Let's say I'm the dom. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is this for you? And then be like, what level would you like to play at? What level would you like to go up to? Even how long would you like to do this? And then that way I could get, okay, you want to do a 4, then you can last longer. So it's that communication and kind of seeing where you're at. Because there is no, like, some people, maybe they only want 5 spanks and they're good, but they want them super hard or super soft. So I don't know. And also it's like playing with your own limit with time.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
All right, you guys, we are back today on Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast, and we have Miss Tia Lynn here joining us. I am so excited to talk to you today about play parties. This is a topic we have not covered at all on this podcast, and I am all about exposure therapy and exposing people to different types of things they may be interested in and may have never heard of before. And I think this is a very popular topic that people may not know about. So let's just kind of jump in and start with telling me a little bit about like play parties and what got you started in going to play parties.
Okay. First, I just want to say play parties is sex parties. It's another word for sex parties. And there's different types. So you're going to hear a variety of different things from different people based on which ones you go to. So there's definitely some that I would never go to and that aren't my style. And there's also some that I love and I can kind of like tell you the differences and how to find them and what to be aware of. But I just want to like preface with there's so many different types. It's like saying, oh, I don't like to party. Well, what type of party? You know, like you got to know, like there's conscious play parties. There's more just all about fucking. There's ones that are all about consent, boundaries. They're vetted. So it really depends on what type you're into. And I'm going to be talking about ones that I enjoy most.
Yeah, I love that you pointed that out because I think so often when I think of play parties, I've never been to a play party yet at this point. I think of a bunch of people getting together to do, quote, kinky things, whatever that may be. But I never thought about there being different types of play parties based on what types of activities that you are into. And I think that the really cool thing about play parties is this is a great way to meet other people who are interested in similar things that you might also be interested in.
Yes, exactly. So many people come to me and they're like, what they think a play party is you walk in and everybody's fucking, right? And yeah, it's exactly balls to the wall, free game. You just like walk in and people are just going to come at you, and society and even Netflix has shows that portray it in such the opposite way of how it is. One of the things I like to share is I feel safer at a play party, the ones that I go to, than a club. And there's reasons for that. The ones I go to are vetted. It's very much so about consent, boundaries, asking for permission, even for touching you. Whereas if you go to a club, men touch you, they grab your ass, they freaking grind up against you, and it's not comfortable. We don't actually like that many times without consent. So there's so much to be learned by going to these parties, and you don't have to play. In other words, you don't have to kiss. You don't have to have sex. You don't have to touch another person. You could even just go and explore and be in that environment, kind of try your own things, bring your partner, kiss them, not kiss them, do whatever you want.
Well, and there's a whole kink based on watching, which is voyeurism, and that you just enjoy watching. And so some people would choose to go for that, only.
Yes. And we even have a rule at the ones I attend, the COVID rule. It's a 6 feet rule. So like if you're within 6 feet, you actually need to ask to watch. But if you're farther away, that's fine. We're at a play party. But like, we don't want like oglers coming up within our 6 feet radius, like just ogling. So we have that rule. That way we don't feel uncomfortable with people just watching. But usually that's fine at play parties. Like I've had someone while I was having sex, they were like, hey, is it okay if I watch? And I'm like, yes. And I enjoyed that and it was comfortable for me. But you can say no. And one of the things we say is if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
I love that phrase. And that's literally on my phone background because I 100% agree. Like if it is not a fuck yes in your body, if it's not an immediate yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
Until further notice, until you reevaluate or whatever.
Yeah. So I've honestly, play parties have changed my life for the better. I've gained really great friends and relationships. In fact, I'm dating two guys right now from meeting them at play parties. And they're genuine good guys that treat me good. We talk about consent. We talk about needs, wants, desires, boundaries, and they're not even my boyfriend.
I love that. So what have you learned by going to a sex club?
Ooh, so many things. I've learned being in my body. I've learned more about my kinks. I've learned saying no with power. I've learned really being in my no power and like, when it's so prevalent, it's good to be particular. I've learned that I don't like having sex with people without connection. I am pretty demisexual and I'm sapiosexual for relationships. And so I've kind of like dove into that. One time I kind of pushed my boundaries of trying something new and having sex with more people than I usually do. And I didn't like it. Oh. One big thing is I learned aftercare is so important to me.
So important. Okay, so let's back up. I want you to define what is a demisexual, because this is also a word we haven't actually talked about on the podcast. And I relate so much to that statement that you just made in that I am in this phase of my life where like, I don't want transactional sex. I don't want to just go bang it out. Like I want connection to some degree. I want that like that in lust or in love sex, not just a one night stand or a regular one night stand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, demisexuality is a sexual orientation. People who identify as demisexual only feel a sexual attraction to someone after they've formed a strong emotional bond with them. Compared to the general population, most people who are demisexual rarely feel sexual attraction. So for me, I do have to have some type of emotional connection. Like when people ask me, who's your celebrity crush you'd want to have sex with? My first thought is, yeah, but what if I didn't feel anything with them? Like who's the hottest person? Like Will Smith, what if he was in front of me and I didn't feel a connection with him, I wouldn't want to have sex with him.
There is something to be said about that connection. And I think that you can have that connection on the spot too. It's not something that you have to develop. Are going to find it more often when it's developed, I think, too.
It's chemistry. It's our body's chemistry. It's our intuition. The more tapped in you are. I had sex pretty quickly with a guy that I'm still dating today. It's been 5 months. And we had this instant connection. He wasn't my particular type. In fact, I was like introducing him to other women and they were like all over him. And like, they were like, oh, he's so hot. And I was like, eh. Yeah, go get him. And then he came up to me, we started talking, and I was just like, whoa. Yeah, it was like an instant connection bond. And we started talking for only like 5-10 minutes. And then he's like, would you like to go upstairs? And I was like, yes. And then we had sex and it was great. And we've been dating ever since for 5 months.
Ooh, I love that. That's so similar to a recent story of my own where I met this guy at the sex club and it like instant chemistry. And I fell in love at the sex club, which you should never do, but it happened and we're still cool. We still see each other, but
yeah. Hey, there's no shoulds because I don't know. I feel like they get to know the real you quickly. And I really appreciate that relationship. And it went super bonded quickly. And I don't know if I would have ever dated him if I didn't meet him at a sex party and have super amazing sex and connection and chemistry. He's like not my normal type.
Yeah, it's so crazy how our bodies just like have this knowing or this pull towards people for whatever reason. So what is different about a play party or a sex party compared to like a sex club?
What is a sex club? Like, I think we could still call what I go to sex clubs, I guess, because they have a membership. So I don't really know. I'm not like forte on that. I feel like that's just jargon that we might just throw around without having the right definition. But yeah, the one I go to, they're more conscious. It's centered around art. We have getting to know you like games, and there's not many like that, but there's more coming. Whereas like, I don't know, one of the others I go to, it's more centered around sex. And maybe is that one considered a sex club? Honestly, I don't know. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. Yeah.
It's interesting. I never thought of them as the same thing. My experience with the sex club has been like everybody shows up. It's not necessarily planned. You don't really know anybody there in particular. Like there's not really a vetting process. Some places have memberships, but some do not. I'm trying to think, like there's two in San Diego. I've only been to one of them, but it's very like impromptu, I guess is what I would say.
Oh yeah, I have been to only one. Yes.
I'm super curious to try a play party because I feel like that might be a very different vibe that I might enjoy knowing the people and having more opportunities to truly connect with people rather than like you just meet and fuck.
Yeah. So I'm not really down with that. That's the big difference. I want to have it vetted. I don't want a bunch of old people. You can shame me for that. I'm not really down with that to have that dynamic.
Unless it's Will Smith.
Yeah, unless it's Will Smith. I forgot he's old. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. See, it'd have to be about the vibe. But I have been to one where, yeah, you like pay a membership and you go and it was like really weird. It was older people that have just been in the scene. There was like younger women and older men. It was like not very conscious and just like swinger lifestyle. So yeah, I guess I have been to some of those. So what you're going to get different is it's not vetted. The age, the looks.
Well, and I think that it really comes down to like deciding what type of thing that you're into or what is your intention that you're going into this type of practice. So for some people, it may be a sex club is exactly what they're looking for. Yeah. Other people, it may be more of like a particular type of play party. And so I think it really just comes down to like, what are your intentions behind choosing to involve this in your life?
Yeah. What type of people, what type of kinks, what type of boundaries? I personally like to have an experience. I like to have the performing, the getting to know people. I've made so many friends at, I'll just kind of say it's called The Play and it's in LA and they center it more around a conscious community, art, performance, and then it goes into play. And we really are all about consent and boundaries. So that's my favorite one. And then I've also been to others where it is all about consent and boundaries, but it is a little bit more focused on sex. So you go in and it's like at a mansion, we're all dressed in tuxes. Those are the ones I kind of like to go to. They're themed. It's kind of upper middle class, like sexy vibe. And then as we drink, kind of talk, get to know each other, people kind of split off and go have sex. Usually it's upstairs for this different one and it's a different area. So it's a little different theme. You could stay downstairs. People might play downstairs, but that one still can be really fun. It's just a little bit quicker to the act and doing. You still don't have to have sex, but it's a little bit more quick and focused around that.
I love that. I'm definitely going to have to check this out. How would I like find a play party if this is something I want to explore?
Okay. So I live in Southern California. It's definitely a lot more open and available, but I bet if you We're looking into lifestyle parties, play parties. I would try to find maybe some influencers, some podcasters in your area, maybe ask them, because it's not really always just like on Google that you're going to find the good ones. So you might have to find somebody that already has an in that you can like get to know, because it's such a small community. But you could start somewhere and look into lifestyle, play parties, and then maybe there you'll find an in and kind of get to know some people in the community, ask if they know of other types, events. There's sometimes events that aren't centered around sex. It's more like BDSM events, kink events, learning, workshops. And then you can kind of learn what's in that area. And once you get the in, you can kind of get to know from other people. Or you could just Google it and try and like really do your work. Go to like page 3 of Google, 5, you know, like really try and find like what you're looking for, like lifestyle, conscious kink events or play parties that are more conscious. I don't know. It might be a little bit hard because it's very new.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed out that it's not going to be on Google. Majority of them, I don't think are going to be on Google, because this is a lot of times you kind of have to know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you need a little bit of you need to know somebody more than likely to get into some of the events or to even hear about the ones that exist. I know for me, I think FetLife is a really good resource for different, all kinds of things, but then also definitely in the world of how to find some. Also, I've heard Reddit can be really good too.
And then Field. You get on Field and start meeting people through there and then kind of see what's available and start talking to people. Yeah.
So what if you are like in a community where they don't have workshops, they don't have any of these resources that you're able to find? How would you create your own play party?
Ooh, well, I will say most places do. Like I've lived in Utah, Salt Lake, St. George. They exist. There may just be harder to find. Like they exist. There's going to be something.
And there's kinky people everywhere.
Yeah.
And just because you're into play parties and sex parties doesn't necessarily make you kinky. But I really feel that all of us are kinky in some way, shape, or form. Like everything that we do in the bedroom has some type of kink involved into it. Like whether it's watching yourself in the mirror, like that can be kinky. So like there are literally kinky people everywhere and people are having sex everywhere. So you're right. Like they're probably there. You just got to do your research.
Yeah. I'm from St. George. I'm from small towns and they're there. There's not as many. So you do kind of have to find an in, make friends, try to think of people where they would go to those type of yoga workshops or like more conscious communities or events. And like, yeah, kind of have to know somebody. But you could also start with going to different ones. So you could start small. Like my last partner, I live in Orange County and there's not really any that we like. We went to more of a sex club and we did not like it. So we created our own, like having our own friends over. It could start small, like 4 people, 6 people. And you can just like make it your own, like a regular party. And then create your own consent boundaries, talks, if you want to have performers, if you want to like make it artsy, if you want to make it just sexual. Like you can create your own, just like you can create your own party. And then I've been to some parties where they created a party that was supposed to be a play party and it wasn't, because they didn't set it up the way it was supposed to be. They didn't have any types of rules. They didn't like really give people a heads up. They didn't know how to do it. So like research, try and learn, how do you create a play party? How do you build people up? How do you get people turned on at a party? How do you make it feel like the women are comfortable to open up? And I have tips for those, but yeah.
What type of rules would you typically expect going into a play party?
Yeah. So the ones I attend that are vetted and more of a community, you have to pay, it's usually a premium price, is consent. All of the ones I go to, we talk about consent. What is consent? we always bring up, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. And then we also talk about honoring a no. So thank you for protecting yourself, or thank you for honoring yourself. That's what it is. Like, we tell people what to say when people tell them no, like if they want to.
I love that. And I think that especially as women, sometimes our no, and I actually wrote about this recently, but sometimes our no is so hard to say. And so I love an environment where it like supports you saying no.
Yeah. And so that's very important. And then creating a dynamic where women can feel safe. Because when women feel safe, honestly, we are the rulers in a play party. Like, if men go and it's men and women and the women don't feel safe, there will be no playing or very hardly any. But if the men and the women, and you can support and honor our no's and consent and boundaries, we feel safe to open up more, and it's going to be a little bit more wild and sexual. And the one that I went to, one dynamic which didn't create a play party was all the men were all dressed completely. They kept all their clothes on and then they wanted to go into a room. That doesn't feel safe. That doesn't feel comfortable. That feels like we're already at a different level. Like, we're taking our clothes off. We're maybe in our lingerie. We're having fun. But all these men are just watching in their full-blown tuxes. Like, how awkward.
Yeah. So, okay, that brings up a really good question. Like, what type of clothing do you typically wear to a play party?
The ones I attend that are a little bit different, it's like tuxes, suits, and then the women are in lingerie and sexy dresses. Also, there's themed parties. So, like, one coming up is Monster Mash. And so they're going to be dressed up for Halloween, monsters, Dracula, fun things. Last week was a Barbie party. We were dressed as different types of Barbies, lingerie, and the guys do get into it if you find like some really fun ones. So, or themed. So it's usually dressed up or themes.
Okay. So you brought up the Barbie party. I would love to get into our little segment called Kink of the Week. This is one of our new segments that we're adding to the podcast show. And I would love for you to tell me, what is your kink?
Okay, so my kink, I do not have just one. If you know what the erotic blueprints are, I'm a shapeshifter and kinky. So I'm all of them. So I have a lot of kinks. I have like a lot of things. And then kinky, the definition in erotic blueprint is you like anything that pushes the norm. So a lot of things. But we will just talk about one that I enjoyed at the Barbie party, and I like impact play.
Yeah, what is impact play?
Yes, is impact. So it's when you're getting spanked, flogged, you could get slapped, you can get whipped, which sounds a little intense, and it is. And through going to play parties, I've realized how much I like it. And I've also been able to find a dom. And at this last one, I got flogged, and I just like sit there and take it. And I do like being the center of attention. So people were watching and they're like, whoa, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. And so I got two kinks in one, is getting the impact and then also being watched.
The exhibitionist. Yes, I love that. So how did you discover that you enjoy impact play?
Ooh, I feel like when I was younger, I would always be intrigued with anything that's kinky, which is anything that pushes the norm, and I would want to try it. This is like literally when I first started having sex, and I just wanted to try things and try things. And I realized I liked being spanked when I was younger, and I just like, it got me out of my head, like, ooh. And so I started just playing with that, and then really getting into it probably when I started going to play parties and I met like a girl dom, and I was like, ooh, I really like this. And it does, it like really turns me on. It gets me out of my head, which I'm ADHD. I overthink. And so it's kind of like a meditation for me. And I like pain.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal. Is there something that you like the most out of impact play, like a particular type of toy or item being used to impact you?
Honestly, I kind of like a hand. It's the impact. It stings. It leaves cool marks. I like all of it. Yeah, I think I like the hand or a paddle. But I don't know, the hand's kind of cool because you get that connection, that bond, and it leaves cool marks. And I like it. I like the touch. I like the sting of it. And then flogging is kind of like for show for me, in my opinion. It doesn't really hurt me very much, but it hurts other people. But for me, it's like almost kind of like lighter, but it's more of like a show. Like it looks cool when there's all these, like, if you know what a flogger is, or if you don't, go look it up on Google. It has like all these little like leather tails, and it sounds cool, and it sounds like it hurts more than it does for me.
Yeah, I love that. I have a girlfriend that is a pro dom as well, and I've had the opportunity to experience impact play with her, and it's really fun. Like, I've personally really enjoyed that experience, and it's interesting because I have a high pain tolerance, but when it comes to that, I feel like my pain tolerance is so low.
Oh, okay. So why do you think it's low? I'm curious. And does she do it very hard? Are you comparing it to other people?
Ooh, okay, here you go. You're coaching me now. I'm probably comparing to other people, and I don't think she went hard at all. But I feel like the things, it was easier for me to tap out than faster than I would have maybe anticipated to for myself.
We all have different pain tolerance and levels, and it's good to listen to yourself and not compare. And then also a way to gauge where you're at and last longer, if you want to last longer, is set a tone. So if she's doing something to you, you got to gauge. So start lower. Let's say I'm the dom. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is this for you? And then be like, what level would you like to play at? What level would you like to go up to? Even how long would you like to do this? And then that way I could get, okay, you want to do a 4, then you can last longer. So it's that communication and kind of seeing where you're at. Because there is no, like, some people, maybe they only want 5 spanks and they're good, but they want them super hard or super soft. So I don't know. And also it's like playing with your own limit with time.
Yeah. So I love the way that you broke that down, because I think that a lot of listeners can really utilize that in their own personal life outside of maybe play parties or hiring a pro dom or whatever that looks like. You can use those same tools for having conversations with your partner to talk about, you know, if you do want to explore impact play, these are the parameters that we want to explore. And then, you know, having that continual check in to see how are you doing? What level is that for you? Do you want more? Do you want less? And really practicing and playing with that to see what feels good for both of you.
Yeah. And also keep in mind, this is very vulnerable. Like, maybe you didn't feel safe to let down those walls and get vulnerable with pain. It is vulnerable. So, like,
I love that.
I haven't done impact play with someone I didn't trust or feel safe with. And to also get that aftercare. Aftercare is very important, especially with DES play and impact play. because you're opening up, you're getting vulnerable, you're experiencing pain and intense emotions. You want to feel safe afterwards. Maybe they're giving you some love. Maybe they're giving you some cuddles. Maybe they're spending a little bit of time with you. I honestly wouldn't feel comfortable going and just getting flogged until it's super pained and then not having some type of aftercare.
I love that. And when you say aftercare, what does that really mean, like, for the listeners?
Yes. Aftercare can be whatever you want after you get vulnerable, have sex with someone, have pain, connect with someone. It could even be, let's just say, sexual acts or kink or impact play, BDSM play. What would you like? I did a podcast with someone and she liked food. Someone could want compliments, to be called a good girl, to have a big hug. For me, I like cuddles, connection, warm time. Because my love language is quality time. So I want a little bit of time after, a little bit of love. And I've learned by going to play parties that that is super important to me. And I have to tell men what I need before.
Yes. Really knowing your needs and articulating them are so important to having a good experience, period, but especially in the world of play parties. So getting back to play parties, you brought up being vetted. What does that mean? And what does that process tend to look like?
It depends on the event. I just like to talk about the one I'm a part of. It's called The Play. It is in LA. And also the ones that I go to, usually you have to apply. There's an application process. It's online. You have to answer questions. They look you up or they judge you based on your answers. And then some places do interviews. Some places don't. Some people just, you know, okay, you're approved. Okay, you're approved. Some places you have to know somebody that vouches for you. And they even ask me, like, so it just varies based on the different ones. So it really depends. The one that I like to go to, they get on the phone with you. They get on a Zoom call and they make sure to let you know, why are they joining? What are they into? They actually want to make sure that if it's a couple, that the man isn't just being like, oh yeah, we're going to a play party and like, you're coming, my wife, my girlfriend, whatever it is. Like, they want to make sure both people are on the same level. They're both excited. It's not going to be drama. It's not going to have bad energy at the party. It's very conscious and very vetted. Whereas others, they might just add you based on your looks, or others, they might add you based on who you know. And others might be based on how much money you make or how pretty you are or how much you can pay. So there's those. There's lots of different ones.
Perfect. So what are some safety measures that you tend to see at play parties? And what are some tips for STI minimization? Because I think that is a big concern for a lot of people when you are playing.
Yes. So I talk about the play a lot because it's my favorite for several reasons. You have to get tested before you go and you have to get the results back. And it's within 3 months. That sounds kind of long, but you have no idea how many people that are in the lifestyle that don't get tested that often. So I would say, like, people who are usually in the lifestyle, they usually talk about it more. They usually get tested more, but it's not always the case. So getting tested more, bringing it up, talking about it, talking about what you have or what you don't have. When was the last time you got tested? Asking these questions, starting to get comfortable with these questions. And being honest. So if you do have something, starting to maybe go somewhere that you feel comfortable with sharing with people and talking about it and being honest, breaking that shame barrier, and then using condoms. So usually almost every play party I've ever been to, from the ones that are just like for rich people and class and you have to know somebody to the ones that are more conscious, you wear condoms. That's usually a practice. Unless it's with your partner that you brought, like you're married, you're a couple, you're fluid bonded, whatever it is, that's fine. But the practice is you wear condoms with other people. That's just what you do.
That has been my experience at the sex clubs. And I really love that because I feel like when I go to the regular club and bring somebody home, I haven't done that in years, but 9 times out of 10, using a condom is like a chore. Like, it's very difficult. where at play parties or at sex parties, I find it so easy where I don't have to ask. They just do. It's intuitive. Like there is no questions asked. There's no fighting it. And it makes me feel so much more safer that they value my health as well.
Yeah, that is such the truth. Like until I started going to play parties, I am embarrassed to say that condoms, like I hated condoms. I would usually, you know, if it was like a one night stand, I'd wear a condom. But if I was like dating someone, I kind of wouldn't. And now that I'm more in the scene and in the lifestyle, I wear condoms. And unless we have a talk and communicate where we're at, who they're not having protected sex with, where we're at, what our goals are, do they want kids, like all these things, like I wear condoms. So right now I just wear condoms and I used to not be that way. And men in my life just didn't care to wear condoms until I got into the lifestyle. Like it was weird. I was like, guys didn't push. They didn't care. The woman, me, had to push to be like, oh, I'm not having sex until you get a condom. And me, I'd be like, go get the purple Trojan ones. Like you have to get this one that feels good to me. And that's kind of helped the situation.
Well, yeah, I've definitely noticed the same thing for myself. Like it's just, unless you're advocating, but then you'll be like, okay, well, do you have a condom? They're like, well, no. So you knew that we were coming to probably do this and you don't bring condoms with you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then if they don't, then be like, okay, let's go to the grocery store. Let's go get some. It's not a big deal. And
run to the gas station quick, anywhere.
Everywhere has condoms. And make it fun. And then maybe they'll learn to bring condoms. And I feel like sometimes guys are like, oh, well, I don't want to assume. I'll just be prepared.
Yeah, I have a funny story for you about condoms. So recently there was that hurricane that was coming through San Diego. And it was so funny because I went to CVS to buy some condoms because I was like, I knew I was going to the sex club that night. I was like, let me go be prepared. It was so funny because I was not the only one who was in there buying condoms. And everybody, I think, was just getting ready for the hurricane to like take the power out. And all we're going to do is just sit around and fuck. It was great. I loved it.
I love that. That's what I did. I had my own hurricane.
I love that. So are there any other things that you would like to add as far as play parties and things for somebody to know before ever going to their first play party?
Yeah, one thing I just like to reiterate is that you don't have to play. There's so many people that are scared to go because they don't want to play. They don't want to feel pressure and you don't have to. One fun fact about me is I went to play parties like 7 or 8 times before ever having sex with a man. So for years. And I actually went to the ones that are definitely more geared towards men and men having sex. And so that was off for me. I never got that connection, but it was still so fun. But I am bi. So I did have playtime with women and it was my friends that I brought. And it was like fun and connection. And I liked the performance, the party, the taboo, the feeling, the voyeurism, everything. So I really enjoyed it and I didn't have to have like penetrative sex.
Yeah, I love that. And I found too for myself, you brought up friends in the beginning, but I bring a lot of girlfriends with me to the sex club as well. And I have found that I have made so many new connections because it's all generally going to be sex positive individuals who you have something in common with. And I've talked about this with a good friend of mine, Rachel Main, before on her podcast, like, how do you make friends? To be honest, this could be a really great way to make friends with people who have similar interests to you. So you would do different activities together that may involve play, but may also not involve play. So I found it a great place to make friends.
I've made some of my best friends, my best relationships, my best girlfriends, guy friends, connection through play parties. Like I said, one of the guys I met, I didn't even play with at the party. We've been hanging out dating for a year and the other one was 5 months. And then now I have like 4 new best friends that we like connect. We're like sisters. We're like, we open up, we get vulnerable. We've slept with the same guys. We've talked about it. We see how we have each other's backs. And it's like been such a bonding experience. Like I have the best girlfriends from play parties and guy friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel too, is, and I share a lot of the same partners with these friends too. And it's like, there's something that makes it feel safe too.
Yeah, so. I've had a girlfriend that slept with my date there and it was fine. But then he asked her on a date and she asked me. And it just showed like, damn girl, you got my back, sisterhood, I love you. It just connected us. And she had my back. She said, like, no, that wouldn't feel good to me. I don't want to date somebody that you're dating like my friend. And we were just new friends. And so that just like tightened the bond and just connection level. And one tip is make time outside of going to play parties to connect with them. Invite them out, get lunch, get coffee, do events, go to yoga, and build those bonds when you feel that connection.
I love that recommendation.
So I want to give tips. Don't bring dates that you aren't sure that are good, like with boundaries and consent, or really talk to them beforehand, because I brought a date that wasn't that good. And he was like pushing, like not having sex with condoms. I don't know if he missed that part of the consent speech, if he wasn't paying attention, but it made me look bad and he was not allowed back.
That's a really good tip. And I love that you brought that up because I'm actually bringing somebody with tomorrow. And we have had like all of those conversations. I've actually never met him before. It's a first. So that's a lie. I have met him, but it was like briefly, ironically, we were at the same event, but it's technically like a first date at the sex club.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very, very like interesting how that plays out, but also made it very clear, like there is no expectation. Mm-hmm. And I've done a podcast episode about this particular sex club. So I was like, you need to go listen to this so you know exactly what to expect. And then we've had all of those conversations. So that's, I think that's a really good tip though, for people to be aware of.
Can I give you a tip?
Yeah, give it to me.
I know you said there's no expectations, but I would kind of make either some boundaries or share your aftercare ahead of time. I've brought a first date to a play party and I was very disappointed and I felt very empty afterwards. And it's because I didn't share any like boundaries or expectations ahead of time. And then I was left feeling like shit.
I love that. Thank you for that tip. I appreciate it. I love to end every podcast with this final question. How do you define pleasure?
Pleasure can be anything that feels good to you, that makes you feel happy, that makes you feel joy, that gives you that feeling of happiness. So it could be, I love dancing. That gives me pleasure. I love talking to my friends. That gives me pleasure. I love podcasting. That does give me pleasure. I also love sex. That gives me pleasure. So yeah, pleasure is just anything that makes you happy or feel good.
I love that definition. We didn't even talk about your performing recently, which I think is so cool that you do pole dancing, correct?
Yeah.
Give us like the brief lowdown of that before we wrap up.
So we did a doubles pole performance. So it's not two poles, which since I was saying that, I was like, do they think two poles? It's one pole and there's two people and we do tricks together. And I've done pole for 8 years for fitness. I haven't been a dancer, but freaking dancers are awesome. And I love the tricks. I love the pain. I love the struggle. I love the workout. I love the sex appeal and the confidence that I got from it. And we did tricks with another woman. And they were hard. Like, I'm good at pole. I'm very advanced. I can do hard tricks. But trying to do it with another person was difficult. And it was so much fun. I love being a performer. I love the eyes on me. I love being center of attention. I love performing. It's a thrill. And it was so much fun. And yeah, we dressed up. It was Barbie play. We had like metallic pink bathing suits on. And we did like tricks where we're like upside down, upside up, holding each other's feet, like spinning in circles. It was really epic. It was awesome.
I love that. That is so, so cool. And that shit is hard work. Like nobody talks about how hard pole is. It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It requires a lot of abs, arms, back strength. People think legs, but it's not. It's more like abs, arms,
body,
back, upper body. And I love it because it's such a challenge. I just love it.
Well, where can the listeners find you at, Tia?
I am Sexy Biz Babe, biz with a Z, B-I-Z. and I'm on all the things. So Instagram is where I hang out most. Talk to me, ask me questions, come in my DM, and I keep DMs open. Also, my podcast. So I talk about all things sex, taboo, confidence, sexuality, pleasure, sex parties, all the things, sexy biz babe. And yeah, just anything that you find me on for sexy biz babe, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, my podcast, definitely check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you giving us some insight into play parties, and hopefully this maybe sparks some of the listeners' curiosity and gets them to maybe try something a little bit outside of their own comfort zone.
Yes. And that's where you find some fun. Can I share one like freebie, or do you do that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a free training on 5 tips to best sex ever. And it's free. It's a training. You can listen to it or you can watch the video. And it's found on my website, levelupwithtia.com.
Beautiful, Tia. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode, and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.